Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
One, two, three, four. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you. Just a couple of hours before kickoff, the Cronulla Sharks taking on the Panthers at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. You will, of course, hear it right here on Triple M. Peter Sterling will join us at 2 o'clock, just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Rabbitohs over the Tigers, 18 points to 10. The Titans beat the Warriors, 16-12. And, of course, the Roosters, so good, 42-16 over the Cowboys. Plenty to get to. As I mentioned, we'll talk to John Morris. We'll speak to both coaches from this Sharks-Panthers game. And Damien Cook will join us very shortly as well. Adam Fanua-Blake has been the story during the week, though, hasn't he? The punishment that he received, consecutive punishments, really, back-to-back, for insults directed at the referee, but really offensive, not just to them, but to entire communities, certainly those people living with an intellectual disability, their families. He is now, they've kind of doubled down. Apart from the 2 weeks that he copped, he's been fined. Well, fining is the wrong word. He's going to donate $20,000 to the Wheelchair Rugby League Australia, who I love. I think the Dragons won their grand final last year.
Oh, did they?
They did indeed. And he will volunteer as referee in Wheelchair Rugby League as well. What have we made of the whole brouhaha?
I think like most things that offend others with words in society, education is key. And I think they've nailed it. I think the punishment is apt. The fact that he's, you know, I'm an ambassador for the Wheelchair Rugby League out here in Western Sydney, and I was getting text messages from a couple of them young blokes saying, you know, that they were upset by it, and I think Adam would have been post match as well with his words. I think he's, you know, he's obviously a hot tempered player, and we love that in rugby league because that's what we paid to go and watch. He's been in sublime form, and the way they lost that game, the emotions were boiling over, and I think this is kind of the punishment fits the crime.
He said that he didn't eventually, I think in his second apology, basically, that he didn't understand the words he was saying.
That's what really surprised me, and I'm not questioning the character of Adam from All Reports. He's a great family man and great person, but it really surprised me that he said he didn't really used to use the word a lot when he was younger, which is fair enough when you're younger and you don't understand. But then when you become an adult, you understand those things and you understand the impact they have, that it has on society. And even Daily Cherry Evans, we had a Zoom call during the week and he was hammered with multiple questions about it as well. And said pretty much what we'd expect, you know, Adam's apologised, we need to move on, didn't mean it. But he said, I think I've learned a valuable lesson as well. I didn't realise it would have this impact and just how sensitive the community is about that word, which really did surprise me because I thought, how can you not understand how sensitive it can be?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a word that, I mean, as parents, you argue and try to explain to your kids because it's a playground word.
Yeah. Yep.
And it hurts there. And you have to try to convince your children why that word isn't to be used. So for rugby league players to use it, it just takes everything back a few steps. So it's really important that this happens. I think the wording is also important. And Malcolm Knox wrote an interesting column in the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, but he was saying that what he's doing and what MG so rightly said is great and shouldn't be called a punishment.
Yeah.
Going working with the Wheelchair Rugby League.
No.
That's an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's a privilege that he now gets to have. Yeah. And I think if people can get their head around that idea, that would be much better.
Well said, Tone.
And MGT hit the nail on the head with education as well.
Yep.
And I think that should be maybe now an opportunity from the NRL just to go that one step further and just educate all of the clubs about it and introduce them and get them connected with their local communities, with the disabled community, and try and bring something positive out of something that's been really negative for our game.
Absolutely correct. And I think Manly kind of got it wrong as well by saying that the second spray that Fanua-Blake wasn't actually in, you know, the same area as the referees. Doesn't matter where he was. If it said it, it said.
Yeah, it's you saying it was to the players, wasn't directed at him, but it had nothing to do with the emotion. It was about the use of that word. So yep. It was irrelevant. And I think they probably should have focused on just apologising instead.
Yeah, this is the Saturday Scrum. Triple M rocking the footy with Emma Lawrence's favourite band, Pink Floyd, on a Saturday afternoon for you. Great game of footy tonight. Canberra taking on Melbourne, that qualifying final last year. So good. And, of course, they have two coaches who played together at the Raiders years back, mm-hmm. shared a premiership together, have remained very, very close mates over the years. So I guess it's unsurprising that when they're about to clash, that there may be some kind of mind game operation in play. This is what Ricky Stewart had to say.
I certainly know they're going to be ready. I spoke to Craig during the week, and he said that there's no way in the world you'll get us four times in a row. And he said, if you do, I'll run around the Twin Waters golf course naked. That's how confident he is. So,
Ricky, will you match that offer, Craig, to do
no.
a run?
It's too cold here. I can assure you, you don't want to see it either.
Too cold for the nudie run in Canberra. You can understand. And look, before we get into the idea of the nudie run and this kind of bet between people, we should get the response from Supercoach Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, I actually heard a little bit of a rumour about that, but Rick, which he does a fair bit, has told a little fib there. I haven't actually spoken to him this week, so I don't want to scare too many people, so they might never get over it. So, no, that's not going to happen if that happens. But as I said, I haven't spoken to him this week, but he might be getting the call this afternoon, actually.
I love the idea of the nudie run. I love the idea of them doing that for the bet.
Oh, geez, you... there's some dangles there. Wow.
Some angles, did you say?
Yeah, yeah. Some angles. Not filmed, I hope.
No, I hope not too. If you, you know, you guys have played lit sport for many, many years, have you ever put anything on the line like that?
That's a good way to put it, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was 2001 and we were playing, it was the middle of the year, so I think it was a split round or it might have been when Origin was on and we were sort of languishing at the bottom of the table at that point. And we're on this golf day with all of the sponsors, and I was partnered with Chris Hicks and
Spider
and another couple of guys that were just part of the corporate group. And basically after, you know what it's like, it starts and they've had a couple of beers and they're really good, but at about the ninth hole they start getting a bit lippy and we're not having a good season. And this guy was just an absolute prick, to be honest. So anyway, by about the 16th, 17th hole, he was started getting really cocky and saying, you guys are going to come last, yeah. And you're not going to win another game and all this sort of stuff. And so by that point, I'd had enough and I said, listen, pal, if we come last this year, I will get the tattoo of a wooden spoon on my ass. And Hicks is like, yeah, and so will I. I'll get it as well. And anyway, that was kind of the last we heard of it. Coming into the last round, we were equal last with the Warriors.
Oh, no.
And we needed, obviously, to win. And we were playing someone sort of around us at the table on the Saturday. And the Warriors, I think, that year were playing like the Roosters for their last game. So they were never going to win. Mm-hmm. So we just needed a win and we were going to get the job done. So we win on the Saturday and we're off on, you know, the mad weekend or whatever, at the end of the season. And then all of a sudden, hear the score on Sunday and the Warriors actually won, beat the Roosters. And we lost by, I think, 3 or 4 points in for and against. And we ended up coming last.
Oh. Wow.
So show us.
But because the circuit that was for and against, it didn't really.
Oh,
no.
We came equal last.
No.
We didn't come last on our own. We came equal last.
Where did you finish on the ladder?
If you look at the table, where were you?
Yeah.
We're equal last on the ladder. We're at the bottom 16th, of the table. Sorry, yeah. We're at the bottom of the table.
Yeah. So you didn't get any spoon?
I didn't get anything.
Nothing.
I didn't get anything. Like, I'm a man of my word, Tane. It still hurts me.
You won a premiership and you put it, get a tattoo.
That's right.
You lose it.
You could get it removed later.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean, now everything you say, I'm just not going to take seriously because I think you're not a man of your word.
It's true.
You know, I've got a tattoo of a bloody Gus Wallen in the Roosters on my ass. Like, I bet's a bet, brother. When I came back from Perth in end of 97, start of 98 to the Panthers, Royce kind of wanted me to, you know, I was 30, so Royce wanted me to hang with the young up-and-coming blokes in the weight room. There was both Pool Tour brothers, Tony and Frank, and Ned Kadich, Lee Hopkins. And I started to realise that I could lift more than these guys in bench press, so I started to have a few bets and saying, look, you know, whoever benches the most today, well, the other three have got to pay for the night out this weekend. It's all around beer. You know, it's, so after about 4 or 5 weeks, Tony Pulitua starts to lift more than me and Frank Pulitua starts to lift more than me and Ned Caddick starts to lift more than me. So one night I think it cost me $400 after a game for the shower. But that's the only through the career, me and Johnny Catrow used to kind of have little side bets on who could get the most offloads in a game and stuff like that. But that one, I think Bellamy and Ricky Stewart's one takes the cake. That's brilliant. You know, that's the nude run. That's yeah, that's brave.
The truth of it is that the bet was probably never made, but it is. It's nice of Ricky just to plant a little seed.
Yeah. Yeah. He also got the fact in there that they've won the last four times. Yes. So, you know,
there is some mental disintegration going on there.
They won't be doing it. Have you done many nudie runs in your time, Gerds?
I've,
or they just by choice.
By choice, by I have. Choice. We had a Steelers reunion one time, and I'm not sure, maybe in the early 2000s, and it started at lunchtime at the Steelers Club upstairs there, just across the road from Wollongong Showground. And by about 6 or 7 o'clock, like all the old boys were there, and for some reason we all just went across the road, jumped the fence on a Wollongong Showground. Everyone took their clothes off and did a lap for nothing, for no reason at all. No reason at all.
And you won't get a tattoo of a wooden spoon on your ass. What is
never
wrong?
Too late, Tony.
Never too. It's a Saturday scrum.
The Triple M Saturday scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
MGM Gerds, Tony with you. Just that news of the day from last night's game. Josh Reynolds and Latrell Mitchell are both charged grade 2 dangerous contact head on neck. They will miss 2 weeks. 2 weeks each, I think. Latrell Mitchell also had a high tackle, a grade 1 careless high tackle. That's $750, but with an early plea, $550 for him. That is a judiciary report. All right, we're talking money before. Always love to know what other people are earning. Patrick Mahomes, he's going okay for the Kansas City Chiefs. 10-year extension for him because he did win a Super Bowl. Worth about $700 million Australian.
That's all.
$1.4 million a week. I had looked that up, actually, MG, $700 million. Just looking at the GDP of countries around the world, he's richer than Turkey.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of their gross domestic products, he's above them. He could buy and sell Botswana about 8 or 9 times.
Okay.
So he's going okay. We move into the NRL land. $1 million is a huge figure for any player. There's just a select few who are up around there. What about the notion before we get to that, that David Fifita has been offered? And we don't, it hasn't been confirmed, I read, and we'll speak to Reedy later. And I saw Reedy's piece in the paper today. So nobody's actually said from the Gold Coast that 1.25 has been officially offered to David Fifita, but certainly that's where the money and the thoughts lie. $1.25 million. Let's concentrate on him first and then just push it a bit wider on who is worth your $1 million of your current NRL players. Should David Fifita be going for, yeah, you know what, I'm going to the Gold Coast and I'm going there, let's be honest, for money. I'm not going to win a premiership. Or should he go, you know what, I'll stay with the Broncos?
Well, okay, so there's two separate issues, whether or not the Titans should offer him that money, whether that's ridiculous, you know, thrown around during the week. Is it ridiculous money to pay a guy who probably hasn't shown that yet and it's more based on potential? But again, I think we've spoken about it at times with these players. It's whatever someone is willing to pay you, isn't it? That's what you're worth. And depending on the circumstances and what the market is doing and what a club needs individually. And what I found really interesting a few weeks ago when Nathan Brown was in here talking about attracting players to Newcastle, and he said in the beginning he would chat to managers and they would just laugh in his face at trying to get a player there. But as soon as he started to get players, they gradually, so Aidan Guerra was there, Ponga, Pierce,
but
Clemmer.
On that point, so Aidan Guerra was on his way out of the Roosters. So they went and you know, got a guy that was probably on $300,000, made the investment on a guy that had those relationships, that had been in good systems, and he was able to bring players. I think that's a totally different situation than offering a guy $1.25 million that probably doesn't have those contacts as yet and is three times the money.
Do you think players, I mean, I don't know, do you think a player would want to go to the Titans because potentially he's not the player that players say, I want to go and play with David Fifita? Not yet.
No.
But they have to, if they need, this happened, so yeah, if they need some marquee players, a lot argued that the Tigers then paid overs for the likes of Josh Reynolds, who's on, say, around the $800,000 mark, but they just lost Woods, Tedesco, Mitch Moses, and so they needed to,
The issue for the Titans is they've got an awful track record. If you go through their lineup at the moment in relation to players that aren't probably giving them the value that they've been brought to the club for, you obviously got to look at Ash Taylor, Shannon Boyd, Cartwright, Peach to a degree, Peachy, Proctor. Now, all these guys are taking up a big chunk of their salary cap. So I think their focus should obviously bringing the right people into the organisation. One, the right people. Yeah, so a good person that has good relationships within the game, that has some experience, that mightn't have the same sort of brand that David Fifita has, but still can make things happen. And getting that salary cap back in some sort of orderly form, because at the moment it's just all out of whack. And until they get that organised, and I look at the other thing with Fifita, look, he's an edge back row, and I think he's going to be a wonderful player. The pressure that's going to put on that young guy once he comes across there is something that he needs to be really aware of, one. And two, look at Jason Taumalolo from a club's perspective. I think he's the best forward in the game. And how's he contributing to the Cowboys' success at the moment? Just because you buy a guy like that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win a lot of footy games. Now, the Cowboys might say, it might be part of their pitch, we've got Taumalolo and Morgan, and you know that might help them attract people to the club for sure, but it doesn't necessarily always get you results either. So, need to be so careful with
that. And
then
from David Fifita's perspective, I mean, whether it's the right thing for the club to offer them, from his perspective, then you're going and the pressure is on. And we've seen it happen to Ben Hunt and Ash Taylor on those million-dollar price tags. Is it worth having that pressure, firstly? And, I mean, no disrespect to the Titans, but it would be a fair few years away until you'd expect them to be in, say, premiership contention. So would you rather earn a little bit less money being a side that can win a premiership, potentially a bit more stable, less pressure? But that's what he has to weigh up. I mean, you don't know. I mean, even his family situation, potentially the money may be able to help out his family. You don't know.
Yeah, well, 700K a year would do that as well, which the Broncos have offered him. And at 20 years of age, I think, you know, obviously, as Em said, you're worth what anybody wants to pay you. You know, when I was in Perth and I had jet skis, I wanted $1,500 for them. Someone wanted to give me $1,700. I said, okay, I'll take $1,700.
So true. and I really love those jet skis.
That's a cheap jet ski, Andrew, $1,700.
Well, they only lasted 3 weeks. I didn't ride them much. I bought a his and hers for me and Meegs, and we rode them once. If I was David Fifita, and if I could give him some advice, I'd say stay where you are. You're 20 years of age. You're not consolidated yet. You've showed so much potential. We keep saying potential. Every time we say the word David Fifita, that word is in that same sentence. Mm-hmm. Potentially, you are anything. But until you fulfill that potential, you don't even start looking at $1.25 million because then again, what you guys are saying, the burden, the expectation, we spoke about Ash Taylor earlier in the show. If you haven't got the constitution that can carry an organisation on the back of your shoulders, but because you're the richest at the club, don't do it. Don't do it, or you'll regret it. Money doesn't buy happiness. It helps. It certainly helps. But if you're doing things for the wrong reasons, inevitably it'll come back and bite you right in the bum.
Latrell Mitchell was offered more than $1 million by the Tigers, but then he chose to play for less money at South Sydney because he's coached by a coach that he thought would be better suited to him in Wayne Bennett, a bit more relaxed with his friends in Cody Walker and James Roberts. So he didn't opt to go with more money, in his eyes, better suited to him, potentially whether he thought more chance of a premiership in that window or not. But, I mean, there are examples where players have knocked back more money to be in the environment which is more suited to them.
The money will come for guys like David Fifita. I mean, he's going to earn $100,000 for the next 10 years through Origin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he also needs to look at the people that are around him. And I spoke about Taumalolo. Now, he's got guys, obviously at the moment, you know, Morgan's not there, but he's got Val Holmes at the back, and he's put himself in an organisation there where he's got plenty of help in key positions. Robson's been one of their best players all year. Now, the Titans need to build on all those areas. So Fifita might get there, be standing out on that left edge with no one to actually give him the ball when he needs it.
And it's interesting on that.
He relies on others. Yeah, where Haas generally, or playmakers, they get their $1 million because they got their hands on the football all the time and they're making decisions and they have a direct impact on the result of the game on a weekly basis. Now, Dave might win you one game in 4 or 5 weeks, but does he get involved enough in the contest to make that much of a difference every week?
Yeah, because Andrew Johns has come out and talked about the players he would pay $1 million. So the $1 million men in his regard. And he doesn't even include Jason Taumalolo, even though he's on it. And precisely the reasons you were saying, in fact, where, you know, the Cowboys are travelling, he hasn't got any edge back rowers in his list. I'll just go through it and let me know what you think. This is Joey's $1 million man. He's got Cameron Smith, hard to argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luke Keary, and playing brilliant football.
Tick. Yep. Tick.
Nathan Cleary, young guy on the up.
Yep.
Cameron Munster, again, plays great footy. Jack Whiten, interesting choice, Jack Whiten, but he's gone into the number six.
He's influential. He has gone next level since he went to 5'8". His involvement in the game is profound.
Yep. What about Mitchell Moses? I mean, some people don't get it, I guess.
I'd balk at that.
Yep.
Yep.
Tommy Trbojevic.
No problem at all.
No problem whatsoever. Tick. And James Tedesco.
Yep.
Tick, tick, tick.
No Daly Cherry Evans there?
No Daly Cherry Evans.
Okay. Yep.
He's the most paid in the game.
Yep.
Highest paid.
No Ben Hunt there either. There you go. They are Joey's $1 million men.
No Callum Ponga?
No Callum Ponga. No, he isn't there as well. They're the guys.
What about if you're building a new club?
Yep.
Just say, Perth or the new Queensland club. Coming in next year and you've got, $1 million to throw it or 1.25, who would be the first person you would throw it at, do you think?
I think I'd probably go with either Keary or Tedesco. Be hard to separate those two. Tedesco, just because he has so much influence on a weekly basis, and Keary wouldn't be too far away just because of how dominant they are in the game management aspect of things. So you just know, regardless of where you end on those sets, these guys can just put you in a better position. They can just make the game just less painful for everyone, even in a bad side.
And plenty of footy in front of them as well, those guys.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, we are going to have a chat with Damien Cook. Remember, Sterlo joins us at 2 o'clock as well. We've got Reedy's Mail, so much ahead. Thanks to King G. It's a Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum. For King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, thanks so much to King G for all their support. King of industry since 1926. All right, time for a little bit of this.
Believe it or not.
I could just listen to that all day. Believe it or not.
Why don't you?
Okay, well, I do. When I go home, I just put that on high rotation.
What do you do when you go home?
Yeah.
What's on the subway?
What are you going to do?
I've got responsibilities. I've got young children, Em. Mm-hmm. I've got a wife.
Who's minding them?
At the moment, my wife is minding. Well, she's not really minding them. I mean, they're the children. It's not like she's babysitting or anything. It's just
that's
a natural
how Wendell
thing.
Puts it, doesn't it?
He does. Yeah, I've got to babysit.
I looked after
children.
The kids. I babysat. Well,
no,
they're yours.
They're your children. Some responsibility. No, I'll just hang around, watch the footy. Well, obviously, listen to the first game and then
on Triple M.
On Triple M.
Or you can put it on the TV, mute it, and then put Triple M on.
Oh,
I assume that's, I mean, I do that for all of the Triple M calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To sync it up, you've got to pause it for maybe a second or two.
Do you?
Yeah, and then.
So then you spend the entire time trying to catch up to make sure it's, working. I'm not sure if that.
If you're OCD, don't even start it.
Yeah. Well, Sterlo will come in 21 minutes and talk us through that game this afternoon and so much more to get his take on right now. Though, in Believe It or Not, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You have to tell me whether you believe it or not and why. First up, Abbey Corrissau is the best buy of 2020. Believe it or not, Emma Lawrence.
I believe it, yes. I believe it. I think certainly changed the way the Panthers played. There's, it was a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
MG, sorry.
Yeah. Keep going.
Got a little bit distracted.
Was that me? No.
I just heard a female laugh somewhere. Mm. I don't know. Anyway.
It's our producer, Charlie.
Charlie,
it's female laugh. Yeah, it can't have been Triple M.
Charlie, this is 25, but.
With the young spine they've got, with Luai, Dylan Edwards and Nathan Cleary, I certainly think. Yes, he's certainly the buy of 2020.
Yeah, believe it or not, Charlie laughs like a girl.
Dady's upset, Dady. I believe it. Him and Josh Morris, for mine, have been the buys of the season thus far. And not just what he does with the football, Appy, defensively, he's just so solid around the ruck, plays big minutes every week and puts his body On the line, he's a small man but has a massive impact, and I love that he's with the Panthers.
Something about the hookers this year, isn't it? I know Harry Grant kind of isn't the buy because he got loaned, but he's got to be up in the top five. Appy is, for mine, I believe Appy is the best buy of the year. I think right behind him is Ryan Madison for the Eels. He's got a presence on the field. He's added a bit of ball playing ability on the edge. He's a massive. I think he played 5'8" girls in the Australian schoolboys.
Yeah.
He was in the system last year with State of Origin. If they pick one tomorrow, I'm pretty sure he'd be in the 17. Regan Campbell-Gillard have been fantastic buys for Parramatta, but I think Appy tops the tree.
All right, then this is obviously a Charlie question because it seems to be a bit negative, you know.
He loves negative. Yeah, what is it about producers? That's why the shock jocks.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not shock jocks, mate.
No.
It's people driving in cars who want to hear some nice radio.
We're trying to spread love. Yes. What we're trying to do. Here it is, though. Dean Pay will be the next NRL coach.
Circle up, blur.
I mean, his team goes up against Brisbane with another coach who's under a little bit of pressure. There's plenty. We saw Paul Green last night as well. You'd imagine there are quite a few in that lineup. MG, where have you got Dean Pay?
I think he'll last the season, to be honest. I'm not sure other coaches will. So I'm not believing that, no.
Okay. I don't believe it. No, I think he's probably just got a couple of other unfortunate coaches. What do you say, Tony? He's a little bit faster at the moment. He's running
when
away
you
from
don't
the
have
Lions.
To outrun the line, yeah. You have to outrun than some one others person, at the moment. Other member of the party.
It's very negative, isn't it? Do we have to sack someone every week?
Oh, look at you on your high horse.
Wow. Look behind
Emma
you.
Emma doesn't need to lift home. She'll be riding her high horse.
The bloke with the black leather jacket on with the white collar, ask him.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think he will be the next sacked.
Okay, no. So that's all you had to say. You don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it, but I mean...
Believe it or not, Harry Grant has a long way to go to be Origin hooker.
A long way to go is in his development?
There. Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. I believe the only way that you find out if you can handle Origin is when you play it. And what, he's 22 now, and although he hasn't got a lot of first grade experience, he's got all the skills.
Under that criteria,
tough.
You could pick me.
You know, but look, Queenslanders find a way, especially when they pull that jersey on. They can pull people from obscurity, and they'll do a job. I think they'll be... I think he'll be right thereabouts, won't he, when the selection comes around at the back end of the year, and I don't think he'll handle it badly at all. I think it'd actually do a pretty good job.
He wasn't quite as on song last night as he has been.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. MG, what do you think?
Well, that tackle on Tom Burgess last night proved to me that I'm confused. Say the question again.
Believe it or not, Harry Grant has a long way to go to be Origin hooker.
No, yes. Not. I think he might be the hooker for Origin this year. Okay. That's how fast he's being tracked. I think when you think of Ben Hunt was the incumbent, Jake Friend is obviously another one who will come into the picture, and
Reed Marnie.
But I think Harry gives up some more. I think Harry's got it. He's got his sleight of hand at dummy half is just so perfect. The way he brings his forwards onto the ball it's like he's been playing first grade for 10 years. His defense is there. He was dirty when he got replaced last night. I love that. He's a competitor. And we spoke to Josh Reynolds through the week on the Rush Hour, who said that the thing about Harry Grant is we watch videos on Mondays or Tuesdays whenever we're watching the team we played last week and the video we're watching. Every time you see something that Madge pauses, Harry Grant's in the picture, both in attack and defence. So he's going to play Origin, whether it's this year or not, I don't know. But, man, he's something special.
What did Reynolds describe him as a bin chicken? Is that
a bin
what
chicken.
He
bin a chicken. Chicken.
Just always in for a scrapping at everything. Scrap. I mean, as you guys said, all those characteristics that you'd want in an Origin player, tough, real competitor, I think he's certainly up there, and if not this year, in the next year or so.
Mm. Ryan Girdler, believe it or not, Nick Kotrick should stay at Canberra. Just bearing in mind a huge offer from the Bulldogs.
I'm not sure whether he should stay at Canberra, but I think he needs to put himself at a club that, you know, he's going to enjoy and have some success, and maybe that's the Dogs. I mean, I understand his situation at the moment. I mean, he wants to play. He believes he's a centre. I kind of went through a similar thing when I was coming through at Illawarra. I wasn't quite as old, but I had some really good centres in front of me, and I wanted to play in the centres, and I left a really successful organisation to go to the Panthers, and because I wanted to play a different position.
But now wasn't look at you. Now look at you. Now look at you, mate. Wow. From wing to centre to
in the Origin record books.
Yeah, in coffee shops and everything. One decision.
Wooden spoon tattooed on your arm. Yeah. So I can understand if he wants to move, not just for the money, but for the opportunity, yeah. Okay. So what did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did beautifully.
What was the question?
So what is it? What are the Dogs offer compared to the Raiders? Is it much more?
It's a couple of hundred thousand more.
What, a year or overall? So I think the Raiders, if I've got this right, they've offered him 500 a year for 3 years, 1.5.
Yeah.
And the Doggies have offered him 600 a year for 4 years. So that'd be 2.4 mil.
Yeah. So it's an extra 100 or so a year.
Yeah. Oh, look. He's kind of in that stage where he's, you know, if he wants to play centre, well, who's he got in front of him? He's got Croker and Curtis Scott. Well, I'd put him in front of Curtis Scott at the moment in the centres at Canberra.
Well, he had the opportunity to last week, Ricky, and he didn't.
Yeah, and that's probably his frustration coming out of Nick Kotrick. So, yes, go to the Doggies, mate. Expand your wings. The Doggies would love you. They'd welcome you with open arms.
Well, it's another sign today, isn't it, MG, with Oldfield getting the nod at centres again. So Ricky obviously doesn't see him as a centre. Mm. So there's a disconnect there straight away.
Yep.
Is he a centre? Do you think he can be a centre? I mean, you know, sometimes.
I definitely think he can be a centre. But, you know, it's funny. Like, I mean, the game really has changed and the centre role has become so much more important because there's so many opportunities now for quick hands. And we've seen it over the last couple of days. Yes. They're stripping numbers through the middle and centres are playing like they used to. So you need to have a different skill set. You just can't be a good dummy half runner anymore to play in the centres. I love that about the way that the game.
Yep.
Am I off?
I switched you off. I had enough of you. I mean, I should have done it an hour ago, if I'm being honest.
John Morris, the Sharks coach, will join us next ahead of 3 o'clock kickoff. The Sharks and the Panthers as Triple M rocks the foot.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Indeed it does, and it's going to rocket to the tune of Cronulla taking on Panthers at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and Sharks coach John Morris joins us right now. G'day, mate.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. You're feeling at home there because Jubilee Stadium was going to be your regular home ground this season, but all the things that have gone on, but you are finally there. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to deck it out in black, white, and blue. We've had two games here. Actually, we played a trial against Manly at the start of the year to try and get used to the ground, and then we played Storm here in round two before the season was suspended, and performed really strongly in that game too, mate. So the boys love coming here. It's good facility and nice and close to get our fans back through the gates. So we're looking forward to it.
Little bit of a disruptive start to the season, bud, but last 3 weeks just building. It looks like you guys are building for something quite special, and I just thought last week you looked like you found the old Sharkies, that old identity, you know, in the years gone where you've had so much success just around getting up in the face and, you know, making it a little bit of a scrap. You really bullied the opposition last week. Is it the same sort of approach today?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've really got some momentum going. I think even against the Bulldogs, I thought it was a real tough game. They come out and had a lot to play for, the Doggies, and play with a lot of passion. And then against Manly, we had a really strong forward pack led by Fanoa Blake and Tapao and Jakey Trbojevic, and we got the job done there. And then I was really happy with last week, even though we probably started a bit slow. We certainly played the way we wanted to play and based the game on a really solid defensive effort. And we had a 28-0 second half, so I was really impressed with that. But the boys have been really good at sort of flushing our victories and moving on to the next challenge. And there's no doubt we've got a big one today over the Penny Panthers.
Yeah, Johnny, it's no coincidence that the last 3 weeks within victories, Sean Johnson has been close to the man of the match on each occasion. Much maligned. Obviously, we expect a lot of Sean, and when he doesn't get man of the match each week, he seems to be in the news for the wrong reasons, that he's had a shocker of a game. Or tell us about the man himself. Tell us about Sean Johnson, the man. We don't see much of him. We don't hear him on too many interviews, but what type of bloke is he?
Yeah, mate, he's a very, something Muffers have been very professional. You know, the way he goes about his whole game, the amount of work he puts into his game on and off the field. He's a real loyal sort of person with I just think he's got a real great character. I've got a good bond with him, Sean. I think that's been the key to try and unlock his talent is to really get to understand him, because it's a strange one, because he's just so talented and he sees things out in the field a little bit differently to everyone else, because he's so rare, he's got that talent, but allowing to bring that into our game and still still play to other parts of our strengths. You know, with Wade Graham on the other side, Chatty Townsend, Blake Braley. So it's just been about getting the balance right with him. And no doubt, you know, Sean's been a confidence player, but he's managed to, but I think mentally he's managed to flush those, you know, errors that he's had in his game and sort of not carry his divots as much this year. And he's just getting on with the job and thinking about the next job at hand. And he's had some real quality touches for us and set up some real nice tries. Mm. And, mate, he's having a super year for us.
Josh Dugan be happy to get the number one jersey on, although it's at the expense of poor old Matty Moylan, who's just missed too much footy with injury, hasn't he? It was so good to see a smile on his face, apart from when Darren Watini hit him. He wasn't smiling so much then, but it's just such a bummer we don't see more footy from him.
Yeah, look, I really felt for Matty. He's, you know, no doubt he's had an interrupted last sort of 18 months with injury, but that was his first hamstring for the year. We put a lot of work into him in the preseason and identified that he was he had some parts of his hamstring strength that he wasn't up to where it needed to be, and we put a lot of targeted training into him, and we're getting some good ground there. But he had some calf injuries that sort of prevented him from doing the running load that was required to build his hamstrings, resilience sort of up. So it was an interrupted start of the year, and unfortunately he had a one on the weekend. Looks like probably been 4 weeks. But, hopefully he's back in four, and Dugs slot back in at the back there, and he's someone else I've been really impressed with. Dugs, he's had played six back-to-back games and been real strong for us. So I'm looking forward to him having a big one for us today.
How do you lock this Panthers defence? It's really been their shining light so far this year, John.
Yeah, it has, girls. I think they're giving up something like 13.5 points a game, which is I think. It's been the real difference in the Panthers team this year. They've only lost one game all season. That was the Parramatta. Look, I just think that they're first in the comp for completing their sets and also getting repeat sets, and sort of that goes hand in hand. They're also defending their line the least because they're just winning that field position battle. So we need to get that part of the game right. We need to make sure we're completing our sets and getting that arm wrestle with them. And then if we get a little bit of fatigue into their big men, we might be able to pull them apart.
Yep.
It's definitely going to be an 80-minute effort today, that's for sure.
And with success, obviously, a bit of smile on your own face as coach, because I see what people make pot shots at coaches all the time. Second year in, how are you feeling now? Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, definitely enjoying it. Never gets easy, that's for sure. You know, it's a challenge every single week in the NRL. Mm. But absolutely, I've loved the journey. You know, I think I've handed out 7 debuts in my time, and I've really enjoyed that part of it, you know, to bring guys in and give them their first shot in the big time, and then try and turn them into season NRL players. And there's been no secret to the adversity we've had around our club and our roster, and we're working our way through that. And, obviously there's always going to be pressure attached with results, but I've been proud of the whole club, really. We've just all stayed focused and kept working hard, and we've been able to manage a few wins and sneak back into the 8 where hopefully we can stay.
With them juniors, you've had a massive impact on a lot of the juniors in the Dragons' careers. Before we let you go, Johnny, give us one name to look out for in the upcoming weeks for the Sharkies.
Oh, mate, there's hard to single someone out. Are you talking about someone who hasn't played NRL?
Yeah.
We've got a kid there, Jensen Famapaya, who's just going from strength to strength. He's on a development contract for us, and he's a big outside back who's come through our system. A big Frankie Pele is a big front rower, MG, that you would like. So we've got a couple knocking on the door, and you know they train full time with us and like to hold the first graders accountable for their intensity of training. So that's always a good battle. But there's a couple waiting in the wings there, mate, and hopefully I'll get their shot.
All right, John Morris, go well today. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, buddy.
Sharks coach John Morris. In the next hour, Peter Sterling will join us in just moments. MG, thank you so much for your efforts today. Once again, 118%.
Unbelievable. I love this show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And, Gerds, I think you're going to go out and do another interview.
Just going to have a little break, supposedly.
Have a break. We'll be back shortly on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.